Over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, a disappointing outcome here as we open up the 2024 calendar year of Bucks basketball with a loss to the Indiana Pacers, something that has been a theme of sorts this season. The Pacers now 3-1 against the Bucks in this regular season. The fifth and final matchup between these two teams is on Wednesday night. A couple of things really stood out in this game tonight, and they are themes we've touched on throughout a portion of this season. The Bucks bench could not match the firepower that the Indiana Pacers had throughout the course of this game. And as we mentioned on the broadcast, the Pacers have the top-scoring bench in the league, and you can really see why with the performance that they had tonight. This game was also one of the things you would point to when you hear it brought up a lot of it doesn't matter who starts the game. What's more important is who finishes and who plays more minutes. And if you've made that point, you would point to this game tonight, because when you look at the Pacers starters, 70 points is impressive to get from a second unit. The Pacers starters outside of Miles Turner and Tyrese Halliburton did not have a big impact on this game. Andrew Nembhard played just 8 minutes, did not return after those 8 minutes with a lower back issue. Aaron Nesmith ran into foul trouble throughout the course of the evening. He was not quite as impactful as we've seen him in previous matchups between the Bucks and the Pacers this season. And Jalen Smith put in the starting lineup, you got the impression, largely to help the Bucks, or excuse me, help the Pacers combat some of the size issues that the Bucks were presenting them with Brook Lopez and especially Giannis, in averaging 51 plus points per game in the previous three matchups this season. So they put Jalen Smith out there to try to slow him down, but it really allowed the Bucks offense, or excuse me, defense, to find their footing early in this game. They did not trust Jalen Smith, and I know the numbers point to Jalen Smith has been okay shooting the basketball this season. It's a very, very low volume of shot attempts that he has done it on. And we saw the Bucks in their rotations basically say, we'll let him take the shots. Anybody else we're going to rotate to, but Jalen Smith can take all the shots he wants. He took 5 shots early in this game. 5 of the first 8 shots the Pacers had in this game came from Jalen Smith. He finished 1 of 6 on threes, 3 of 10 from the field overall. We did not see him late in this game, as Rick Carlisle really treated this like a playoff game. And we've heard some comments from Adrian Griffin as well about how games like this are good because it gets you ready for the postseason. Jalen Smith did not play in the fourth quarter. He played 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. In the third quarter, just 3 minutes in the second quarter. The bulk of his minutes came in that first quarter. Quarter by quarter, his production and his minutes dropped off, and Rick Carlisle did not leave him out there. He found what was working, and what was working was that second unit, and specifically TJ McConnell, who has had big game after big game throughout his career against the Milwaukee Bucks. And TJ McConnell, one of the closers tonight, allowing the Pacers to take this one and take the season series. You hope that is something you don't point to and say, man, the Bucks really needed that. But nonetheless, if it comes down to a tiebreaker, that will go to the Pacers by way of this 122-113 victory tonight at Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620. That is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So I mentioned quite a few themes that we had seen throughout the course of this season that popped up once again tonight. Bench production was one of those. 70 points from the Pacers. Everybody but Buddy Hield scored for the Pacers and scored in double figures off the bench. Buddy Hield went scoreless. 0 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 4 on threes. TJ McConnell gave you 16. Isaiah Jackson gave you 18. Obi Toppin gave you 11. And Benedict Mathurin, we talked about TJ McConnell being a thorn in the Bucks' side. Benedict Mathurin has had a pair of big games against the Bucks this season as well. 25 points and 13 rebounds for Mathurin. 70 points all told from that second unit. You converse that with just 16 from the Bucks. That has been an issue for large parts of this season. Obviously not at full strength with no Jay Crowder yet. That's not going to make up 54 points in the difference that was in bench scoring. Didn't have Marjon Beauchamp tonight either, which again, those two players are not making up 54 points. For the Bucks, that's been the challenge. You haven't had that consistent output from the second unit. Pat Connaughton, just three shot attempts, made one of them, and they were all three-point attempts. Bobby Portis as well. We had spotlighted Bobby Portis and talked about the boost he had given this team recently with his uptick in offensive production. Ironically, since that last matchup against the Pacers, second to last, I should say, in the in-season tournament semifinals, did not get that same type of production tonight from BP as he finishes with just 8 points, half of the bench production, but just 4 of 12 from the field. And again, this is going to be an issue for the Bucks as we navigate through the season because this bench is not constructed to be a high-scoring bench. That is all loaded into the starting lineup. And for people that have mentioned, maybe the Bucks should examine some type of change to the starting lineup, maybe get some more defense in there in the backcourt. That is one of the things you would point to say, I know Malik Beasley is playing well, and I know by the numbers, if you just examine the productivity of five-man lineups, the Bucks starting lineup has been one of the best lineups in the league this season, and they're getting that done with their scoring, certainly, but the defense has continued to take some strides forward. And again, you saw that early in the game tonight. But when you're not getting that scoring from the second unit consistently, Malik Beasley is a guy that can come in and knock down shots in a hurry. Saw three quick threes in the opening quarter. That would be one of the areas that you point to. It wasn't just bench scoring, though. It was a big difference, but it wasn't just the bench scoring. A couple of other areas that really stood out are areas we've talked about much, much more throughout the course of this season. We'll get to those after this. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. The two other big problem areas for the Bucks in this one, and just how Giannis has taken apart the Indiana Pacers so far this season, though the Bucks have just a 1-3 record to show for it. But the statistical output Giannis has had in these four games against the Indiana Pacers, we'll get to that and your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. .122-113, our final score here at Fiserv Forum. The Indiana Pacers take the season series with this win against the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on the show. We mentioned the bench scoring. Pacers came in with the best scoring bench in the league, but tonight that was amplified. 70 points from that second unit, including some massive, massive production in plays that really swung the game from both T.J. McConnell and Benedict Mathurin. But the other areas that really stood out, again, are areas that have been an issue for the Bucks for portions of this season. They are areas the Bucks have gotten better at, but still areas that continue to pop up every so often. Rebounding. And the job the Pacers did on the offensive glass in this game, 14 offensive rebounds. You heard from Adrian Griffin shortly after the game, just too much, that you got to finish off your defensive possessions. That was one of the things that Griff talked about specifically before the game. When you look at Tyrese Halliburton and what makes him so tough is how he keeps everything alive. He gets everybody involved in the play as well. You have to adjust to him. He can shoot it from deep, just like Damian Lillard. If you play off of him, he's not afraid to take deep threes. If you come up and really get into him and press on him, he can get around you and get to the rim. And if you try to trap him or double him, he can spread the ball around and find the open shooters. We saw all of that tonight. The shooting that they've surrounded Tyrese Halliburton with makes this team especially deadly. But really the big thing is just limiting the Pacers to one chance. It's one of the big things we heard from Griff before the game, the need to get back in transition. You just have to be disciplined, as he put it prior to the game. They're good at leaking out, so you have to find their shooters when you're in transition, and you have to protect that three-point line. Halliburton makes that difficult with his ability to really spread the ball around. But Griff mentioned, look, this is very similar to what we saw recently in those two games against the New York Knicks with Jalen Brunson, that he is a point guard that dominates the offense. He can score from all three levels, and the way he can slow down the game or speed it up and play at his speed, that's what the challenge is, and that's why it puts even more of an emphasis on rebounding the basketball, specifically those defensive rebounds. You cannot allow teams like this and teams like the Pacers, the Knicks, with point guards like that that run the offense the way they do. You cannot afford to give them multiple chances. You have to play all the way through the possession. Post-game, Griff said, I thought we did a good job in spots. And overall, as he said, I thought we had three very, very good quarters. It basically boiled down to the fourth quarter, where the Bucks started hot. They took a 7-point lead into the second quarter, a 6-point lead into halftime. It was a 5-point lead that the Bucks took into the fourth quarter and then gave up nearly 40 points in that fourth quarter, and the offense just could not answer the challenge of the Pacers. A rarity for the Bucks in that the fourth quarter has typically been their best this season, and we've heard from Griff the emphasis this team has put on the fourth quarter has to be your best quarter. Those last 5 minutes, those are especially critical. The Bucks were not good largely in the fourth quarter tonight, and especially the way they closed out the game, it was not a strong close to this game either. Second chance points were huge for the Indiana Pacers, and they got those on the offensive glass. 14 offensive rebounds, which they turned into 24 second chance points, and it wasn't just the usual suspects on the offensive glass. When you think about the way this Pacers team is constructed, offensive rebounds, you would assume Miles Turner played a big role in that. He did not. He had just one offensive rebound. Three offensive rebounds from Benedict Mathurin. And again, it speaks to the bench and the production the Pacers second unit gave them. That's where the offensive rebounds came from. Three from Benedict Mathurin, two from Buddy Hield, two from Obi Toppin, two from Isaiah Jackson, and one from TJ McConnell. 10 of the 14 offensive rebounds from the Indiana Pacers came from that second unit. And not only that, transition. The Pacers were scoring second chance points on those offensive rebounds. And when the game really started to swing in the second quarter, the Bucks did a good job of not losing hold of the rope, though they did give up basically half of that lead. But when it did start to swing in favor of the Pacers, they were getting to the free throw line, and they were doing that in transition. They were forcing Bucks turnovers. They were taking misses. They were running even off of makes. We've seen that all season long. Even when they're taking the ball out of the net, the Pacers are getting down the floor and running. They were getting into transition, and in doing so, they were putting a ton of pressure on the Bucks defense. And oftentimes that resulted in fouls and put the Indiana Pacers at the free throw line, where they got there 38 times. 31 of 38 at the free throw line. Bucks got there 26 times, 11 from Giannis. But the last time these two teams played, Giannis himself got to the free throw line 32 times. In the three games against the Pacers this season prior to tonight, Giannis was averaging 21 trips to the free throw line per game. And tonight it was the Indiana Pacers that were using free throws to their advantage, getting there and drawing fouls on the Bucks. They did that through transition. So those two big areas, not just the bench, but defensive rebounding issues for the Bucks and transition defense, two of the constant themes we have touched on throughout the course of the season. They have both gotten better. We've seen progress from the Bucks, but time to time, we've continued to see those types of performances like we did tonight, and that just proved to be costly for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. I mentioned the season numbers. for Giannis versus these Indiana Pacers. And on the flip side, there's the numbers from Damian Lillard. There was a question about how the Pacers defend Damian Lillard. I do want to get to that and take a look at these numbers in these three matchups for Dame, four for Giannis. What stands out that we've seen in these games against the Indiana Pacers? We'll take a look at it after this on Bucks Talk. To 113 final here. The Indiana Pacers knock off the Bucks for the third time this season. And look, you still have a decent amount of separation between yourself and the Pacers. Bucks now sit at 24-9, so you lose a half game to the Boston Celtics, a Celtics team you will see next week. And you're still a game and a half in front of the Philadelphia 76ers, a game up on the Sixers in the loss column. You're still five games up on the Pacers in the loss column, five and a half games overall. But as we pointed out, your schedule does get much more difficult in the second half of the season, and really specifically in the final month of the regular season. Five games is a nice amount of separation now, but the hope now is you don't have to sweat towards the end, not only for the Central Division, for any type of playoff seeding, if you're the Bucks, because the Pacers, with this win tonight on January 1st, have secured the season series and the head-to-head tiebreaker should they need it for any playoff seeding. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us on the show today. And look, we did not mention yet a triple-double from Giannis. Third time this season that Giannis has recorded a triple-double. And if we just look at what he has done against the Indiana Pacers, it has been a remarkable season and stretch of games for Giannis. This is his fourth game against the Pacers this season. He came in averaging more than 50 points per game against Indiana. He leaves now 1-3 in these four matchups, averaging just over 46 points per game and shooting 69% from the floor against the Indiana Pacers. He is shooting 80% at the free throw line. He is averaging just under 14 rebounds and 5 assists per game. More than a block as well, more than a steal. He has been incredible. But when you look up and down at the rest of the running mates for Giannis, Damian Lillard, he's only played in three of these four matchups. And I know a question came up to Adrian Griffin about some of the coverages that we've seen against Dame this season, specifically from the Pacers. But in those three games for Dame, he's averaging less than 20 points per game. He is shooting just 32% from the field. And only 27% on his threes. He is also averaging three turnovers, a 2-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. Adrian Griffin said it had to do with some of the staggering, or that's not the entirety of the reason for some of these struggles we've seen. But part of it is when the Bucks stagger their stars, and when Giannis is off the floor and Damian Lillard is out there without Giannis, and especially without Chris Middleton. And we did see this early. We did see this at times in that first quarter. The Pacers were blitzing Damian Lillard. They were immediately throwing double teams his way. We saw that with Giannis as well, all throughout the course of the game. Whenever Giannis would touch the ball, if he wasn't initiating the offense and bringing the ball up the floor, if he wasn't in transition, we did see the Pacers try to wall him off a few times. But when Giannis was in the half court, if he would catch the ball with his back to the basket, it was an immediate double team. And that is an area where if we go back 5 years ago, you think back to the Bucks' first playoff run with this group, when Giannis won his first MVP in the 2018-19 season, the 2019 playoffs, everything was moving along. Until you got to the conference finals, game three is when it really started against those Toronto Raptors. And that's when we saw all these double teams. Adrian Griffin was part of that defense constructed, but you saw all the pressure that you put on Giannis when he was handling the ball, get the ball out of his hands. Make him make quick reads, quick decisions, cause some turnovers. Let anybody else hit a shot. We're not letting this guy get close to the basket and take those shots. Year by year, the following year, in the bubble playoffs, same thing against the Miami Heat. Jay Crowder, a part of that defense. We saw the same thing. Let's just flash bodies at him. Let's double team him. Let's build those walls and get the ball out of his hands. Year by year, we've seen Giannis get better at how he handles that. But this season especially, Giannis has been very good, and especially in the last month or so, he has been very, very good at letting the game come to him. And I thought that's especially what he did tonight. 30 points, 8 of 11 at the free throw line. For all intents and purposes, it was 8 of 10. One of those misses, a 10-second violation, which we've now seen a couple of times in a couple of weeks. But 30 points, 18 rebounds, 11 assists. We've continued to see the assist numbers go upward for Giannis. There's more trust in his teammates. It helps when your teammates are making shots as well. That makes it easier to trust them. But we've seen Giannis just allow plays to develop. If you're going to double him, it's no longer head down moving towards the basket, Giannis. He's spraying the ball around the floor and finding his teammates. And as Adrian Griffin said, these are all things that are going to help us when we get to the postseason. Not just how teams collapse on Giannis and how they defend Giannis, but what he mentioned about Damian Lillard, too. That the Pacers, what they have done, they did it tonight. They did it in the previous two games where they faced Dame this season. What their game plan is let's just blitz him in the backcourt immediately. Let's not let him get the ball early and get into the set, initiate the offense, make Damian Lillard play off the ball, and contest him that way. And it seems to be working when we give you those numbers of how Dame has shot the ball against the Pacers this season. Again, less than 20 points per game, 32% from the field, 27% on his threes. For as much as we pointed to the issues that the Bucks had tonight, the bench scoring from the Pacers, the offensive rebounds the Pacers got, the lack of defensive rebounding for the Bucks, the turnovers, and how that allowed the Pacers to jumpstart their offense and get into transition, that got the Pacers to the free throw line. All these things, one after another, that compounded. For all of that, this game is different if Damian Lillard hits a couple of those shots. And that is ultimately what was too much to overcome. All the other things are correctable, and they're all things you have to address and correct. You cannot turn the ball over, especially against very, very good transition offenses. You have to do a better job on the glass, especially against teams where you should hold that advantage. Those things you can correct. But this game is much different if Damian Lillard knocks down some of those shots. This isn't placing blame on Damian Lillard for the loss, but that felt like it was just too much to overcome. On a night where he goes 3 of 16, you did everything else okay. You did a couple of those things not so okay that needed to be improved. But if Damian Lillard is 7 of 16 or 9 of 16, this is a much different game. It changes how the Pacers have to continue to defend throughout that game. It changes what Damian Lillard is able to do to get the rest of his team going. It's as simple as it's a make-or-miss league. And you do have to do things to put yourself in a position to win the game, to get better shots. But you got to make those shots as well. And as Griff said after the game, he thought they had good looks. They just didn't go. And I would point to 3 out of 4 possessions early in this game. I believe it was late first quarter, early second quarter, where the Bucks had 3 very good looks. And 3 shots, as a matter of fact, 2 were Bobby Portis, 1 was Pat Connaughton, that were halfway down and rimmed out. You make those shots, it was a moment when the Bucks were already leading. You make those shots, and the margin is 17, 16, 18, somewhere in there. It's still early. 20-point leads aren't what they used to be. But it's a much, much different feel that those are the little things that add up and keep your opponent in the game. And you can't give offenses like the Indiana Pacers a second life, as the Bucks did throughout most of the course of this game. So you don't expect Damian Lillard to have a 3 of 16 shooting night on a nightly basis. I understand the numbers show you he has not shot the ball well against the Indiana Pacers this season. But you don't expect that to be the constant throughout the rest of the way. And we've seen a much different Damian Lillard for the last month or so. Ever since that first time, the first matchup between the Bucks and the Pacers this season in early November, Damian Lillard did not play in that game. He missed that game and the next game that weekend against the Orlando Magic. From that point forward, we've seen a much different Damian Lillard. We've seen a much different Giannis as well. And with that, we have seen a much, much different Bucks offense. So we saw some of those shooting struggles early from Dame. He became a much more consistent shooter, as everybody in Portland told us, as all the numbers pointed out as well. Look, he gets off to slow starts, he'll be fine. And I think it's the same with this matchup. He has had three so-so, two bad games against the Indiana Pacers this season. He'll be fine, and we've seen how that offense looks when Damian Lillard is knocking down shots. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on New Year's Day as the Bucks open up the 2024 calendar portion of their season with a loss, which means the Indiana Pacers take this head-to-head season series, winning three of the first four matchups. The fifth and final regular season game between these two teams is Wednesday night from Indiana. We'll take a look at that. And some of the numbers for, we mentioned Giannis specifically and Damian Lillard. A couple of things popped out with their play when we see that two-man game. We'll get to that discussion after this on Bucks Talk. .122-113, our final score here at Fiserv Forum. For just the second time this season, the Bucks lose in this building. And to start the calendar year with a loss, perhaps more importantly, the Indiana Pacers take the head-to-head series, winning three of the first four games. You still got one more. That is in Indiana on Wednesday night. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let us head to the phone lines and hear from Justin in North Carolina.
Hey, my guy, man. So, look, I'm really upset over this loss. And I think I hate these guys more than Boston, New York, anybody else in the East, man. Like, all the trolling with the ball after the game with Halliburton, allegedly Miles Sanders wanted to take it and give it to Giannis. Like, all the extracurricular stuff where you're messing with Bobby, you're messing with this guy. McConnell, you're flopping. Like, these guys are so annoying. But what really frustrates me is some of these naive Pacer fans out there. You think you've arrived because you, like, we're chasing a championship. Justin, you won't say it, but I'll say it. We lost this game straight up point blank because of Dame. And it's not hate on Dame. Dame is our best player tied with Giannis, I feel like. So if Giannis had his numbers tonight, then we would lose the game because of Giannis. And that's okay, because during this regular season, we're figuring things out. We're chasing a parade in June. We're not chasing regular season matchups with Miles Turner or whoever else they have in Indiana. Benedict, whatever your name is, you had to, like, you got to understand, we had guys for Indy that had career nights. Why our guys had career, Bobby can't play that bad. Pat Connaughton can't play that bad. Ajax, like, the entire bench was horrible tonight. But that's not the makeup of this team. This isn't a bad team. So, like, I get it. And as a Bucks fan, you should be pissed about losing to these guys because they want to be a thorn in our side so bad. But please bring them in the playoffs. Please. I hope they go to the play-in and they can win their way out of it and play us as a 2-seed.
So I was wondering how soon before it would start to get extra chippy, and we saw a couple of tees in this game. We saw T.J. McConnell that you pointed to really trying to bait Bobby Portis into a tee, and the officials saw through it and teed up T.J. McConnell. Then we saw them get into it again where Bobby Portis got his technical foul. I still am not quite sure what Isaiah Jackson was so upset over. I think the replay on that hard fall, if you saw it in real time, I could understand where you would say, well, maybe Bobby gave him a shove. When you saw the slow-mo, that didn't appear to be the case, that he was holding on to Bobby Portis's forearm, and that kind of made it look like Isaiah Jackson holding on to his forearm, and that kind of made it look like Bobby gave him a shove. But the way that he got up and was immediately livid, I don't know if something was said between him falling to the floor and getting up or if it was just this chippiness that the Pacers have brought with them. I was surprised it didn't escalate even more, and I suppose that's a credit to the officials in this game. But the other point, the larger point that you make about this Pacers team, it's remarkable to me, and this isn't crying over spilled milk, it is remarkable to me how quickly this Pacers team has gone from being very, very likable to universally a lot of fan bases just finding them utterly annoying because of that first thing that you touched on. Number one, they're always talking. And some of the quotes in the Jamal Collier story, if you haven't read it, go find that on ESPN.com. He talked with the Pacers. He talked with the Bucks, not only about ball gates in the last game these two teams played in, but overall, the back and forth that we've seen, because the Bucks haven't really had any form of a rivalry within their division. You've had teams like the Sixers and the Celtics. The Celtics and the Heat are who you would point to as being the Bucks' biggest rivals for, what, the last five or so years. But within the Central Division, you'll still get Chicago fans that show up here at Fiserv Forum, but that hasn't really had the juice of a rivalry because Bulls really haven't been good for the most part while the Bucks have been, and vice versa. Same with the Pacers. The Cavs are getting there now. The Pistons haven't been good since they were winning championships or getting to the finals in the early 2000s. So the Bucks have been in this weird spot where they haven't been good the same time as other teams in their division. I think that's kind of watered down any rivalries. And maybe now we're getting it with this back-and-forth play. But that's the big thing that I think we've all learned as Bucks fans in these last 5 or 6 years is, you know, regular season wins, they're good for fans, and they can inspire confidence, and it can get you to believe that you may be at a level you really aren't at. But as we experienced, it takes more than beating a good team in the regular season to truly arrive. And you just get the feeling from this Pacers team, they have not realized that yet.
Yeah, and with the Celtics and with the Heat even, like, with them, we hate those guys, but it's basketball. With Indy, it's everything but basketball. Like, Halliburton starts talking as soon as he touches down in the state of Wisconsin. And, like, I don't want to see our guys go to the chippy stuff. I don't, like, I understand what Bobby's trying to do, but I really wish he would just get a couple extra rebounds, get a bucket or anything like that, and really shut him up that way. But we just got to realize, man, we got a bigger fish to fry, man. There's no one on that roster that should fear us. That we should be afraid of, excuse me. And I'll leave you with this, Justin. Dame will never be this bad again. I don't know what it was. The two nights we played Indy, he was horrible in Vegas and tonight. But, my guy, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all the Bucks fans. This is our year, man. 2024 is a year of the Bucks. So we're going to enjoy it. We're going to sit back. I can't wait to see this team play Wednesday night.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for the call, Justin. 855-616-1620, the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us. He mentioned the end of the game, too, and I could not tell if there was a little bit of a commotion. You almost got the sense the Pacers were in the, should we try this, that they were thinking about something with the game ball as well. So I was wondering if we would see something there, but alas, we did not. Still, look, I mentioned the Indiana Pacers have done a lot of talking. Justin mentioned it as well. And they have every right to at this point in the regular season, as they've taken 3 out of 4 against the Bucks. And this matchup just may not be a good matchup for the Bucks. That's why everybody, I've heard a couple of people point out, I'd like to see this Pacers team once more. I'm fine with not seeing them in the postseason because I do think there are advantages the Pacers have just due to personnel. The Bucks roster as it sits now, it's likely not going to be the same roster it is when you get into the postseason. There's something to be said for that. But styles make fights, and sometimes you just have two variant styles. The fight doesn't go your way, and that may well be the case in this regular season series against the Indiana Pacers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. A couple of minutes left on the show. We will preview the next matchup A lot of work that's going to be against this very same team we featured tonight. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks open up the calendar year with a loss, a New Year's Day loss. I did not look this up, so immediately, right out the gates, bad job by me. But it feels like New Year's Day has not been too kind to the Bucks of late. They seemingly play every single New Year's Day. For the last 6 years, they have played every Christmas Day. They've felt like played every New Year's Day as well. And always play the day before and after Thanksgiving. Of course, no games played on Thanksgiving Day. But last year, the Bucks on New Year's Day lost to the Washington Wizards, 118-295, in this very building. Today, on New Year's Day, the Bucks lose to the Indiana Pacers. In 2022, the Bucks won on New Year's Day against the New Orleans Pelicans. So we've seen a couple of losses back-to-back years with a loss on New Year's Day. Year prior to that, they beat the Bulls at home again. So we're seeing the constant of a lot of home games and basically 500 in these spots on New Year's Day. But that trend continued today as this Indiana Pacers team, look, we mentioned sometimes you're too young to know any better. This team has no fear of the Milwaukee Bucks either. And when Tyrese Halliburton is playing the way he does, it's easy to see why not. They have a very good coach in Rick Carlisle. They have shooters that they've surrounded Tyrese Halliburton with. And he has played like the best point guard in the league so far this season. The way he gets his teammates involved and his ability to score on all three levels that we have seen. But look, as Justin pointed out, as a few texters pointed out, a few people on social media as well, you're not going to win very many games when TJ McConnell has a bigger impact than Damian Lillard. And that was the case tonight. TJ McConnell was the hot hand, not just shooting the ball or scoring the ball, I should say, because he only finished less than 20 points in this one for TJ McConnell. He finished with 16 points. He just made impact plays all throughout the course of the second half. And that was a big reason for the Pacers' win. You do get chance at redemption Wednesday night. The Bucks head to Indianapolis to take on these same Pacers. 6 o'clock tip, 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you Wednesday night with more Bucks Talk.